out. So I was like, it's somewhere in the mountains. Like, I don't know. I mean, that could be anywhere, right? So I specifically, yeah, read
so many
it.
Mountains everywhere.
So I would give it a 3 because I think it started out really cool. There was a couple of really good scenes, like the yeah. shadow chasing her on the bike when her headphones are on was fucking
that's creepy.
Was,
yeah.
It was really creepy and really yeah. cool. That was an awesome scene. And there is definitely some things that you feel bad about the girl, and she keeps getting mm-hmm. hurt in the hospital and this and that. And so I thought that was really cool. But in general, like, the premise is really weird. They don't explain it very well. It kind of drags in some spots. I keep wanting more things to happen, and it yeah. was so slow. And I'm a little ADD with movies that I was like, all right, and then what's happening? But the concept was really cool. And if you watch the trailer, just the trailer itself,
the trailer's
I almost
fantastic.
Feel like you don't need
yeah.
the whole movie. Just watch the trailer, because that's yeah. all the good stuff in like a couple of minutes, and it's succinct.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would have to also give it a 3 out of 5.
I understand.
Where it has, it's a pretty strong movie, but it's also kind of weak. The lack of lore is a problem. And the lack of the time loop effect of the alien or whatever it is, not even knowing what
the
it is.
The brood parasite.
But I was also, yeah, no, disappointed in the lack of the time loop having anything to do with anything.
So, I feel like this is how you would break up with somebody. I've got a 3-point discussion, 3-point yeah. explanation as to why we're breaking up. Like, as we mentioned before.
I'm a brood parasite.
As we've discussed before.
That's great. Right. I see it. I totally see it. I think more than anything, I really like the look of the movie. I thought it looked really cool, and I wanted to go to that resort.
It is a beautiful resort, for sure.
Yeah.
And I do like the actress. What you said her name's Hunter?
Hunter Schafer.
She was really good. So I do, I mean, it got I would have picked a 2, but because the acting was really good and there was really
yeah.
cool scenes.
Solid acting.
All the actors were pretty cool, so I liked all
Dan
of that.
Stevens. Oh, yeah. Also, there was a moment where, with Dan Stevens, German scientist, in the house, we all of a sudden felt like we'd been transported to the Human Centipede movie.
Oh, right.
For
yeah.
a moment there. So I just had to throw that in, too.
That's true.
But
German architecture. I'm going next year. I'm so excited. I'm going to Human Centipede.
Bauhaus. Gestalt. I'm just going to say some random weird German words.
Werner Herzog.
Exactly.
That is a weird
Kraft
German
Rock.
Word.
Kraft Rock.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and, again, try to throw something on. And then we'll be back with a little bit more.
We have one more movie.
We got one
the
more
Substance,
movie.
So
yeah.
hang in us there. Again in a couple minutes. And thanks for listening.
Fog City Horrors, everyone. See you soon.
Welcome back, lovelies, to Fog City Horrors. We have one more film to talk about, and we would love if you check out our YouTube channel, Fog City Horrors, make some comments. Thank you, darlings. And or go to Instagram and hashtag Fog City Horrors and make some comments, make some posts. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you. I might get a little wrecked. I don't know why I've started the tradition of one drink per review.
Exactly.
This is our third review
that is
of the day.
One drink a movie.
One drink a movie.
Makes sense.
I'm really excited about this next review because it was a pretty, I'm just going to spoil the review, phenomenal movie. I loved it. The Substance.
Really awesome, you guys. So it stars Demi Moore. John, you want to say anything so far? You want to give us a synopsis or do you want me to?
We always catch you off guard. And John, take it away.
JJ, just John.
Just John.
Oh, Joe's coming through.
Oh, yeah. Everybody. Game off.
Hey, Joey von Frankenstein.
Game on.
We have a rock star in the room. So give the premise,
yes,
then if you don't mind,
yes.
Just John. So Demi Moore is a woman who on the eve of her 50th birthday is a famous star named Sparkle. And she hosts a show that's a workout show, and she's gorgeous and whatever, but she's just turning 50. So she overhears one of her bosses complaining about her being old and wanting to replace her immediately. So that starts that process. Continue. Anyone else?
Sure. And so because, you know, she's trying to hold on to her livelihood and really her identity, which is the biggest piece of it, right? She is advertised this new concoction, the substance, that guarantees a brand new her. And so, of course, she goes for it like we all have. most of us, anyway. And she takes this shot, and very gruesomely, she is split in half, and a new, younger person comes out of her and doesn't even look like her younger self. I don't know. I don't even think it's supposed to be anything resembling her younger self, because different eye color, different a lot of things, right? And I just found out that actress is, I think it's Andy McDowell's daughter.
Oh, right. Exactly who that is. I forgot.
And was one of the Manson girls in the Once Upon
Hollywood.
A Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Cool.
She's that actress.
She's been in this other movie called, I think it's called Maid, and it's about this young woman's escaping domestic violence and all that stuff. Mm. There's a lot of like shorts on TikTok and stuff about the movie, and she's a good actress. Like, she's doing really well, and what I thought was really interesting about this is that, yes, she's beautiful. They're both beautiful, right? But the way that the movie is able to like really accentuate her beauty, her youth and her beauty, like, it is really outlandish to think how editing and lighting can really just make somebody look like outlandishly beautiful. And then you just see them like in regular light. You're like, oh, you're still hard 10. But
normal
flawless.
Looking.
It's
yeah,
flawless.
Exactly. So the movie did a really good job about making this actress just look incredibly gorgeous.
Super flawless, like a Barbie. I kind of felt like they made her look like a Barbie doll. Mm-hmm. But what I liked about it being like a woman of a certain age and also being very vain and caring about what I look like everyone does, of course. But I think for women, it's at a whole nother level. Of course. And so they call this body horror, right? So that's our genre here.
It's fantastic.
Here. And
it's
so good. Demi Moore being, I don't know exactly how old she is.
She's 61.
61.
She's 61.
So
she looks
still
ridiculously
looks
good.
Flawlessly good. Or not flawless. She's not flawless. She looks ridiculously good for 60. And
she
I
looks
told
ridiculously
Ted
good, period.
That she looks better than 99.9% of 61-year-old women, right? Okay, so we know that already. And she's already
she looks
a
better
star.
Than me, and she's 20 years
she's
older.
Gorgeous. But they do show us her flaws, specifically in these bright lights and this bright bathroom. And so you are meant to see her flaws and her falling off of her like pedestal and realizing this hard reality of I'm getting old and I'm getting fired and what am I going to do? So, and she's offended and upset. And like, so when she finds out that there's this thing, which is a vague advertisement for something called the substance, I told Theodore, my husband, I would immediately buy it because it's like you have to pick it up from a shady place. You don't know what's
in it. I have done that. I do that.
You know, it's got a shot. You have to do this. You have to do that. There's very specific instructions. You have no idea how dangerous this neon green shit is. But I said, because I'm so vain, I would buy it and use it and not care about the consequences. I feel like we, us women of a certain age, would completely relate to this. Maybe maybe men too, but I don't know, John. Talk about that.
Well,
do you feel
like
that?
I was going to say, it doesn't... The instructions are one of the funny parts of the thing.
There's so many instructions when you buy shady shit.
The instructions are like those instructions that you get when you're setting up a new Wi-Fi setup.
It's feed.
Like, it's like a giant 7 days. Like 10-inch by 12-inch like cardboard piece of paper. Plug in your plug it in, then like inject, and then like inject. You turn the page and it's like inject the injection, and then you turn the thing and it's like take the like hydrator or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was one of the things that was immediately funny to me, because it's like she interprets the instructions in a specific way, but I was like, I would not have interpreted those instructions.
Same.
In
I was
those
like, these
way.
Are really vague.
When she, it's like when she does the like fourth step.
Remember,
I was
she
like,
sucks
oh,
the
she
juice from
that.
The spine of the. Ooh. You know, we're not. I don't mean to jump ahead, but like you're right. The directions were very odd. So we see the directions for this medication or whatever it is, right at the beginning.
Yes,
but I don't want to give it away. Otherwise.
And so I was just like, I was just thinking, wow, you know. It's kind of cool the way that the marketing materials and the instructions for the substance were very modern and realistic. But I was definitely just thinking, I would have not been able to follow these instructions correctly if it was me trying to do
it. There were a lot of like steps. And the thing is, in all of these movies, all these sci-fi horror movies, why don't you read through the entirety of the instructions? You have several days and weeks. Why don't you just read through the fucking pamphlet? See what happens at the end.
Because she's jumping off the bridge.
Because she's anxious
point.
And she
she's
wants
anxious.
To get it.
She's
she wants
like,
it now.
It,
wants
care.
It now.
I fuck it.
But also,
like, F it.
Speaking of body horror, and to just go back to what we were talking about too already, when she gets contacted to get the substance. She goes and sees that doctor, which, you know, spoiler, is the younger version of himself. He's on the substance, mm-hmm. and he recommends her because he thinks mm-hmm. she'd be a good candidate. Mm-hmm. And then she gets contacted and she goes to the old abandoned building and everything, which was all very, very David Cronenberg.
Yes.
And he's obviously the king of body horror.
Oh, yes.
And that whole situation with the way that she got the substance and was contacting all that felt like it was just right out of like Scanners or a movie.
Yeah,
like
absolutely. That. Yeah. Videodrome.
Videodrome, right. Where you have these like really high level technological companies, mm-hmm. but they are operating in this like
outside the realm of regulations and
illegal.
Shit. Which is
illegal
honestly, that's illegal. Reality. They didn't,
it is reality.
It's, I mean, like there's so many. There's so many procedures you can have to change your body for body modification, whether it's within the realm of what you consider, you know, conventionally attractive, or if you want to go outside of that and become a lizard person.
Implants?
Yeah.
Or a
cat person. And there's so many providers that will offer it to you a little cheaper. And, you know, I think it's deeper than vanity. Like, yes, of course, a big chunk of it is vanity, but there's also the existential dread of dying. There's
getting
also,
old,
yeah, there's this
apart.
Really fantastic scene. Like, there's this really fantastic scene where they're supposed to have a balance, right? So you got Demi Moore and then you've got Sue. I forget her real name. I actually pulled it up. Hold on a second. Come on. Andie MacDowell's daughter, potentially. I haven't verified this.
So what you're saying
her name
is
Margaret, right?
1 week.
1 week eat, 1 week off, 1 week on, off, right? And so the new person, which is Sue, or Margaret Qualley? Oh, interesting. So they're supposed to take turns, and so she goes and takes over, you know, Demi Moore's job very easily because, you know, she's got all the know-how of Demi Moore on how to, like, do the exercise and how to present herself. So she already has a leg up, right? And so she very easily takes the job. Also, she's, again, drop-dead gorgeous. And but they're supposed to have a balance, right? They're supposed to take care of each other. They're supposed to if she stays active past a week, it comes out of Demi Moore's ass. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, although it never goes the other way.
Yeah.
Which is also very telling about, or not telling, but it just kind of, it's a reflection of how we live our lives, right?
Yeah.
We when you're young, you don't give a shit about what you're going to be like when you're old.
And the things you do when you're young.
To your body.
Or even care about your body.
Years, years off your life. And you're, or ruining the body that you will have. Or ruining the body that you will have when you're in your 50s and 60s and 70s. So whether it be like fucking up your knees because you're doing hard sports, or staying out in the sun, or drinking and drugs.
Booze, yeah. Not sleeping enough.
That was
burritos,
very much so
no
representative
vegetables.
Of that. No vegetables. That's very representative of that. The way that youth has no concept of what it's taking, what it's spending, or what it's the debt that it's incurring. Yeah. And there's no way to tell somebody youthful or somebody that's young that this, there's no way for them to believe it. They might know it. Like they can read it out of a textbook.
They don't care.
But they can't care.
Don't care. We don't care.
It's not the reality.
When we're that age.
Right?
But you know, the thing is like, you can't. That's what I'm saying. Like you have no real concept of what it really means.
It's an abstract concept.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean anything to you, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought that was really neat that they played off of that. There's one scene where Sue, the younger version, overstays. Her welcome, not her welcome, but overstays her time. And so Demi Moore gets a fucked up finger. And I thought that was so cool because when she sees it, she freaks out and she goes and she's trying to wash it off. Mm-hmm. And I remember how like that is such a instinctual thing to do.
Yeah.
Because whenever something goes wrong or you're we're aging and you get like a wrinkle or a sunspot that wasn't there before. And you have this really strong instinct to just. You just
scrub it off.
Scrub it off.
Just a little soap and water, and this will be.
Well, sometimes
good as
you know,
rain.
When you get lots of sun and like you know your skin's turning over and you scrub it comes right off sometimes you know, but no like just when you're aging soap. It just doesn't come off but there was like such a like I've done
it.
That before you know where you're like scrub I can fix this
I can scrub
fix
it
this.
Off it's fine
yeah
it's
no
fine.
It's a it is a really cool idea of the movie where it's like as you were saying it's like what we do in our youth. Takes years off of us when we're older. And so in this movie you have Demi Moore who is older and then you have your younger self, but you're existing simultaneously. It's not you in your youth doing things that take years off your life when you're older. It's literally happening simultaneously. Like your older self and your younger self are existing at the same time.
Right.
And like warring with each other over who gets more time,
it's
gets
true.
More like fun.
And know? This is our lives and we even now we don't really feel that way. I mean, we mistreat our body. We drink too much. We do drugs. I don't stay out in the sun anymore. Fuck the sun. Long
live
the
beast. Take vitamins, okay, and water every day.
But we should be eating salads.
I only eat salad eater.
But that kind of metaphor or whatever you want to call it about the younger self and the older self. It also felt like what they were saying with that in this movie was that nowadays younger people, younger women and men are getting surgical, getting plastic surgery procedures at younger and younger
more
ages.
And more. Right.
And that what's we're seeing happen is that plastic surgery procedures that were generally done on people in their 40s and 50s are now being done on people in their 20s.
Right,
and
that's crazy.
And you're ending up with this effect where people in their 20s are looking, getting plastic surgery to look younger or doing this ungodly thing called preventative plastic
Botox,
surgery.
Botox, I'll be getting some of that soon.
An insanely BS concept that you can do plastic surgery that will...
They're jumping the gun, and then they start to look really strange.
Well,
and
they
look
older because we associate that look with something that somebody in their 40s or 50s is doing.
Yep.
But somebody in their 20s does it, and all of a sudden you see those lip fillers or you see the like the buccal fat removal where they're and they're actually making themselves look older than they actually are, even though they think they're making themselves look younger.
Well, the buccal fat removal, like, it's a look. It's a stylistic look, like the gaunt look, right? Mm. Which is it's taking out your baby fat for sure. And I'll say something a little controversial. Like, in some cases, it looks really good, but it does change your face 100%. Mm. Like, I don't want to get into the naming names and being, I don't want to be, like, pointing my finger at ladies. But, like, there are some actresses that have that have done it, and it's changed their entire look to make themselves look more like sultry. Like, I'm trying to use words that are not really tied to their physical look and more about the effect that it has. They look more like femme fatale-ish.
High cheekbones.
Exactly. There we go.
Extreme.
So it has an effect that is, like, in some cases,
effective.
Like, pretty good. But it is, like, people have been calling out. It's like, yeah, but you're also going to age yourself really fast. The older that you get, the sunken cheek look.
Right. Because you're losing your baby fat, which makes you look older.
Exactly.
You start to look older.
These are looks that you get when you're in your mid to late
30s.
You want
the fat a little bit.
You know, where your face kind of slims down because your baby fat kind of goes away a little bit. And but that means that when that happens, like, they'll have to have maybe other procedures that kind of balance that shit out, which could be dangerous because – and by dangerous, I just mean in terms of, like – taking a gamble into how your face will look.
Because if you lose too much of the fat, that's what makes people look old. And you don't think of that when you're young because you don't want the fatter
face.
Again,
you're not balancing out what... You're not thinking about your future self. You're thinking about your current self.
But also not to mention that beauty standards change.
Oh, they change all the time.
And sometimes having a really angular face is in fashion and sometimes having a rounder face
could be more
in fashion.
The full youthful cheeks.
But I mean, like...
But you're changing your body kind of permanently with plastic surgery.
Well, not necessarily, but you can have more. You can have more. You can have more surgery. But... plastic surgery has been around forever.
Even
nose jobs have been around for hundreds of years, which I know sounds really crazy, but there were, I was just listening to another podcast about how a typical form of punishment, like social form of punishment, was removing people's noses. It wouldn't kill them, but it was like, I can't remember what it was a punishment for. And I think this was in India but it was very obvious that, like, oh, well, this person did this crime. And so that's why they don't have their nose anymore. And so nose jobs got developed in order to cover up, that.
Syphilis.
There you go. Yeah.
Also, right? Because that was a clear sign that you had gotten syphilis, which a lot of women, since we're talking about this movie, which is a little bit sexist, right? So you can say it's definitely from, like, the woman in vanity point of view, which we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
The sexism in it.
Of course.
Hollywood standards, because she lives in LA. So, going back to the nose and syphilis, and that one of the problems with syphilis is it would eat away soft tissue like your nose. It was very common. And so women ended up getting syphilis from their husbands who cheated with prostitutes.
Right.
So that became like a very physical showing
representation
of
like
women,
the shame,
that they didn't necessarily get the syphilis from something fun. And so they're getting, you know, they're ugly, they're shamed, people realize they probably cheated on.
Be from something fun.
I would hope so. I mean,
I would say that
wanted
anybody.
To have
good advice.
Sex and not like that somebody cheated on you and your nose fell off. I mean, I would want to earn the nose falling off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but that's interesting. You say plastic surgery with like nose jobs being done, because they would. If you could afford it, you could possibly get like a nose replacement. But can you imagine not being able to afford it? And then it's just like a sign on you that's like, I'm a woman that was shamed and my husband had syphilis.
Yeah.
So if you had like really great sex and then your nose fell off and you're like, worth it.
Better worth it than without.
Oh.
Let's balance this out.
The older I get, the less worth it is.
Off. Worth it for the sex or just you get it anyway?
Two
Which
words.
Which would you prefer?
Praying mantis.
Worth it.
Which would you
Hormones
prefer,
are very strong, John.
Totally had sex.
Which Someone would got you laid. Prefer? The sex for sure or just the, I woke up with syphilis. What would you prefer?
You know, I have a lot of hobbies. I'll just stick with the no sex and the nose.
What? But you want your nose to fall off and no good sex come out of it?
Oh, shit.
That's
sorry.
What I'm saying.
I mixed
choose?
Up the options.
Do you want to choose
I guess I'll take the sex.
Okay, then.
Okay, then. Let's not
Are
pretend
you
you're better
the
than that.
Sex or the no sex?
Sex or nose.
Yeah, there
I think a lot of people would choose sex over having a nose. They could have sex.
No.
Not have
I
a
mean.
Nose.
Would you choose like that?
You're losing your nose either way, she's
correct.
Saying.
You're losing
whether
your nose
would you like
way.
To have it the fun way or the non-fun
right.
way?
Would you rather
exactly. You're going to want to have sex and lose your nose rather than just lose your nose.
Correct.
And
Correct.
Exactly. But back to the movie.
Which is the central theme of this movie, essentially.
Thank you. I'm like, I went off on a little tangent, but because it has a sexist kind of feel to it. So let's talk about
absolutely.
Male characters because
that's the whole point.
Some of the main characters,
Dennis
right?
Quaid.
Dennis Quaid. Okay,
Dennis Quaid,
he's
so awesome.
Great.
He's
boss, and he's very like, "Oh, hey, girl, love you." And then on behind her back, he's like, "Ugh, she's old and washed up. Get rid of her."
Yeah.
And then the way they show him is he's like
he's
eating
grotesque.
Loud and
yeah.
grotesque and smoking and yellow teeth, and he's just like really, he's got these loud like leisure suits on. He's loud and he's obnoxious. And so you can just see, though, that the men, even the men that judge her replacement,
they're grotesque and
are like,
awful,
oh, I wish her boobs were as big as her nose. And they just have, like, so many sexist things.
Oh, that was so rough.
So then when she has her new body, they're like, oh, everything's in its place and she's tight. Yeah. So it definitely shows, like, the woman's point of view versus the man's point of view.
Yeah. Well, and the idea that the men who control everything and who judge the women are
themselves really gross.
Oh, right. Like Dennis Quaid's like old and ugly and he looks gross and he's just like,
he doesn't look the bird, but the way that he is disgusting. Yeah, the way like that he carries himself, he's a scumbag, and like the way that he eats is disgusting. And
He's kind of shiny.
He's shiny and gross, but yeah.
Yeah, he's gross. His teeth are yellow because I zoom in on his teeth smoking and they're all yellow. Yeah. He's not the Hollywood man with like the white teeth and the nice whatever.
But then that's the other thing,
because
too.
Because he doesn't have to be.
Because he doesn't have to be, but he's in power. But that's the thing. Like, when you think about the Hollywood men, they're treated like women, too, in terms of, like, they're there for their attractive. Well, I mean, depending on the kind of...
Well, he's behind the scenes. He's not part of the camera.
Sometimes. But if you're Brad Pitt, like, you better believe Brad Pitt is getting all sorts of procedures done and taking all the pills and doing all the workouts.
Tom Cruise is definitely getting procedures done.
And, I mean, like, Tom Cruise looks ridiculously good. I mean, yeah, of course they are, because their whole job
in front of the camera.
Of course they do.
Not in the same way to me as women in Hollywood.
No, 100% like women. I mean,
like, they still like hire the men when they're 50 and not the women.
They
still have to look good.
Their standard is different for sure. Like, I mean, they get to be older and still like date the 25-year-old in the movie.
True.
And in real life. But the rules are different. But
have you guys seen Dave Grohl lately, though?
I haven't. But if Brad Pitt lost his face tomorrow, he wouldn't be in movies anymore.
No.
But there are ugly older men that are in films all the time. Yeah. And we can talk about how they've gotten fat.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Like,
but they're not the hot. They're not the hot guy, though.
But
they're not the sex symbol.
The old women aren't there in the same way.
I had a discussion recently. This fits, which is that with the new Top Gun movie. They brought back Val Kilmer, who is decidedly not good looking anymore.
He can't talk anymore, remember? Because he has MS or whatever.
That's
right.
So sad.
And I'm not criticizing him
for having MS. Because he can't talk.
But there is definitely a double standard where they brought Val Kilmer back, but they did not bring Kelly McGillis back.
Oh, yeah. No Kelly McGillis.
Because she gained weight.
She gained weight, and she's not, she's not conventionally attractive.
And she's in her 60s. Can you leave her alone?
Val Kilmer is not conventionally
attractive. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they did.
So that's kind of the point of, like, you can... As it is true, as a man, you're allowed to age.
Yeah, you're allowed to age on camera.
And in front of the camera, but you're not really allowed to age.
But even when you're allowed to age, but you're also not considered the heartthrob anymore.
True.
Like Tom Cruise and Brad Pitt are still holding on to that shit.
Yeah, they're
because
still
they work really hard on it.
Yeah, they look good still.
Yeah.
Different roles for sure. For sure. They add a little bit of CGI.
That makes so much sense.
I feel like you have to a little bit.
All right,
back to the movie. But that's what this movie is about, right?
It's exactly what the standards of Hollywood women, beauty, women aging.
Standards of beauty in general.
How far would you go to look young to be successful?
So
they did
a bunch of scenes about Demi Moore's Hollywood Walk star.
Oh, the star on the Walk of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched this movie a couple of weeks ago, so I'm forgetting. There was so much, like...
Remember, it falls apart. It gets cracked and neglected.
Right. But there's, like, palm trees. Like, there's, like, this sort of, like, time... Not time lapse, but, like... Mm-hmm. There's scenes where it's just a camera on the tile, and just to sort of show like, hey, you know, like this time's passing and it's so important. It's so important.
And it like cracks.
I don't know,
remember, her star was like pink and perfect, and then it's like Sparkle Edwards.
It's a metaphor
or whatever.
It's a metaphor.
I love it, but I love how it. Does anyone want to talk about that ending scene with the star?
What's the ending scene with the star?
With the head, her like face.
Wait, what?
Well, let's save that for the end. And I feel like we got like
about the star. That's kind of cool.
Yar.
So, of course, as the movie goes along, the younger version wants to keep staying.
Of course, because I'm like, why wouldn't you, right? And that's the thing. Like, I didn't quite understand how much of it. Like, did they really not know what the other one was doing? They were two separate people, sort of?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you're not the one that's in control, you're completely unconscious and you don't know what's going on.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, that was the impression.
There was this great scene, too, where when Sue is in control and, she puts on that ridiculously hot outfit. Where it's like a cat suit.
Like a dominatrix.
A dominatrix.
With the boots.
With the boots, with like the Christian super, Louboutin. Super, yeah, super high Christian Louboutin, like heels with the red underfoot thing. And she's got this guy with her, and she's on top of him, and like things are happening. And what was I going to... Oh, yeah, so this guy, the way that you see his character in this scene, like he's very... kind of passive, right? Which is fine. Like, he's the sexy girl's on top of him. He's like, you're so beautiful. And he just kind of seems like you're a regular guy, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, a regular hot young guy who's about to have sex with Sue.
A one-night stand.
A one-night stand. Clearly. But he seems very normal, right? He seems like a normal hot guy where, like, he's, you know, he's just enjoying his hotness with this hot girl. But then it's the same guy, right? The motorcyclist that sees Demi Moore and then is an incredible asshole to her. Mm-hmm. Like, and incidentally, Demi Moore still is looking pretty great. She's very stylish. She's got her beautiful hair. Amazing. She looks amazing. But he doesn't give a shit because she's not young and treats her like trash. And she's so shocked by the fact that it's the same guy that you know, that was...
Had sex with her doppelganger.
Right. That, like, she's frozen in place while he's like, get the fuck out of the road. Like, he's so, like violently mean to her. And I was like, man, like, that's, again, like, that's just another comment on how women are treated when you get older. Like, it really doesn't take much. Yeah. You look still pretty good.
You're not noticed anymore. You don't matter in the
same. You're not giving any deference or reference. You're not treated with any amount of respect, which is really crazy, actually. You're like, I'm she's still not a worth smart, anything. Powerful person over here.
She's not like, worth anything to him.
Yeah,
right?
She has no value to him.
She has no value to him. Like, she's just an older woman, like, whatever. Even if she's still hot.
Even if she's rich and hot.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't need her. He's got his young, like, people.
And he's got a job. He's a model. He's so fine. He doesn't... The only she's thing just, he cares he, about women
he can
is,
dismiss her.
Exactly. Like, that was kind of crazy, too, because, like... men do have like a level of respect that they get no matter what level in life they're in, you know?
Yep.
The pretty privilege, where it's pretty like privilege. If you're young and pretty, you're treated better.
That is one of the things I was thinking about when we were talking about how the young versions of all of us and young people in general don't really understand the reality of that you will age and you will change and you'll have gray hair and all these things because it's not our reality and it's so
we have
abstract.
No way to conceptualize it.
Some of us haven't always been like necessarily like beautiful or like the hot body necessarily, right? It doesn't mean we didn't look it doesn't mean we didn't look good when we were young. Like,
I look cute, but
to look to that, like the way that Demi Moore looked even when she was young, right? Like there's definitely a level of beauty that I feel like those type of people with a naturally thin, tight, gorgeous body, they definitely don't know what other people are going through because they've just lived their whole life with that privilege of being attractive and they don't even have to try.
I don't want to be a creep, but I thought you were super hot. You are super hot, by the way. That sounded really bad.
We're all hot. I mean, we're all hot.
But, you know, that sounded really bad. But I just see your teenage pics and I'm like, damn, Patricia.
We're no Demi Moore. I'm no Demi Moore. I mean, dear, you're beautiful. Of course, we all beautiful.
We're no
people.
Demi Moore.
We're attractive people. But, you know, I've never been a model. I'm not naturally thin. I've never just, like, not cared or not tried. So I feel like that whole level of beauty, like a Brad Pitt or an Angelina Jolie or a Demi Moore.
That's a whole other fucking galaxy.
That's a whole other level. Yeah. You can't even imagine what they feel like when they actually start to age.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's gotta fall from grace. So harsh.
And your whole career depends on
your whole career identity,
mindset,
like
everything you've ever been told as Demi Moore has been you're flawless. So for them to sometimes, you know, for someone to eventually be like, oh, you're kind of getting a little bit older, or I see a little gray or whatever, it must crush you in a different way than the rest of us mortals.
And also, like one thing that I've thought about recently is when rich famous people, like rich famous actors. Like lose jobs, like when they go from being super popular to being like not only does it hurt, but imagine that you made a bunch of money, so you elevated your lifestyle and then you lost all that money, so now you can only afford to say like have a small house somewhere or whatever. Think about the fact that how exposed that leaves them, because they're still technically famous. There's still people obsessed with them that could go stalk them and kill them, but now they don't have the money to protect themselves. They don't have the money to live in a community, a gated community, or you know, like with other, you know, C-level actors or whatever. You know what I mean? Like that must be so scary.
And what if you had to, if you didn't save well and you don't get any royalties enough to like survive off of it? Can you imagine those people who have to take like a job again, like just doing those crappy commercials? Because you'll see some of the fall fallen from grace actors and actresses that do like a really horrible B movie and you're like, ooh, why would they do that? Or they just do like a commercial and you're like, oh, they're back to commercials.
Or you know what it is? Because
they need the money.
They need the when you're in the Screen Actors Guild, you have to keep making movies every certain amount of years
or
you're
really?
Health
Kicked
insurance.
Out. Oh, shit. Insurance. So now you definitely better be looking
actors,
good.
When they do those random bad movies, it's just to keep the health insurance going through the Screen Actors Guild.
I would do a Sharknado.
Yeah.
Sharknado 4. I would do it.
Everybody would.
But it's definitely, you know, the idea that Hollywood, especially life in general, but also especially Hollywood, it's like, this is a Hollywood movie.
It's a Hollywood movie, yeah.
It's about how you have to stay beautiful to have your career, and you have no choice.
It's interesting. We reviewed Maxine a couple of weeks ago. Time is an irrelevant concept, of course. Mm-hmm. But it was another Hollywood movie in terms of, like, it's a gross, disgusting... And it is, of course.
Yeah, just about how Hollywood... Which it is. I mean, Hollywood is definitely...
Awful. Yeah, to the people that work within it.
Yeah. And this movie reminded me of another Hollywood movie in a lot of ways, which was Neon Demon.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I didn't see it.
It's about modeling, not acting. Yeah. But it's all these models, and whenever there's a new girl in town, if she's sufficiently amazing and beautiful, they will eat her. So that the other models will stay young and beautiful. So it's the same fucking shit, basically. Yeah. It's really good, actually. Neon Demon was pretty good. Basically. This is better, though.
And, yeah, basically a story
Who's
about how
Neon
Hollywood...
One of the Fanning girls.
Okay, is
Dakota
it recent?
Fanning? Yeah.
Keanu Reeves is in it.
Is he?
I love the Keanu.
I missed him. He not we majorly in it, right?
He's the hotel manager.
Oh, that's right, Yeah. This is like maybe 5 years ago. Four years ago?
Okay.
But it's another story about how
a body
young,
horror type
young,
of movie.
Young, beautiful
still?
People go to Hollywood and then get eaten alive, basically.
Not that much body horror.
Is it a horror film?
It is a horror film.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, check it out. It's not bad. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going back to the substance, I'm trying to remember. Okay, so we're up to Sue starting to take over more and more.
Yes.
So at one point, you can see the off, you know, that it's going off balance where Sue's taking more and more time. But at one point, it tips the scales where she decides that she doesn't care about the rules anymore. All she cares about is having as much time as possible basically taking Demi Moore's time. Because they're supposed to have one week off, one week on. Yeah, she wants just to be on the entire time. And she starts violating the rules of the balance by just taking all the resources so that she can be around longer. And there's this really great scene, because of course, once she starts doing that, things start falling apart. There's this really great scene where she's doing a workout video session. She's doing the show. And she's, of course, wearing the skimpiest, latex.
To show off her hot bod.
Hot bod. And something peeks out from under the suit. And she looks perfect, right? But she feels something, like a little tendril or something, kind of peeking out of her bathing suit or workout outfit, which is essentially a bathing suit. And she freaks out. And everybody's like, oh, we saw something weird on camera. We're just gonna scale it back. And so the whole crew is watching the screens as they move back the film to see what was weird.
Watching it on the big screen.
Exactly, right? So even though she's in this beautiful body, and even though she is the height of what everybody wants to be and wants to be associated with, the nerves and the anxiety associated with not being 100% perfect. Because imagine that it was, what if she pooped her pants? What if it was a little bit of poop?
It was like cellulite, basically.
Yeah. You know? And so like the break, she has a little mini breakdown, right? About the fact that people are going to discover something unbeautiful. I don't know. Something off. And like
a flaw,
and her body's like up on the screen, and she freaks out, and she kind of runs away a little bit. But I remember thinking, like, yeah, you're never safe, even when you're the most beautiful person.
Doesn't matter. There's
perfection,
a mole with the hair sticking out of it.
And like, there's never a safe space.
There's a random hair in a spot that you never saw.
Exactly.
I
don't even look back there. I don't even know what's going on back there.
You know, I can't imagine porn stars, because I've always watched.
Oh my God,
I mean,
yeah.
You know. Some people enjoy porn, and if you do, great. If you don't, that's fine. But I don't mind it. But I've always preferred them to be a little more flawless, because I've watched those ones that are supposed to be more natural, and I'm like,
no, thank you.
I don't want to see that person's hairy spot.
That's
like
what hentai
ugly.
Is for.
Like, you almost want the fantasy is what kind of turns you on.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to see the people that look way better than me, not the like hairy, moly, like cellulite-y ones. But I know some people like the natural.
You're part of the problem, Morticia. We all
exactly.
are. We're all
part of the problem. That being said, some people like that, and that's fine. So I do think there is something to be said where people don't mind an older woman with a little bit of flaws. And even when there's that scene where she's the dominatrix and she has to kind of like change back, and you'd think if she was in Demi Moore's body coming back to that dude, would he be upset? But I was thinking to myself, and this is just my thought, if I were that guy who they've been doing probably some drugs and booze, let's like be honest, and he was going to have sex with this hot dominatrix girl, and all of a sudden a hot older 6-year-old woman came in looking like Demi Moore, he might be like, oh, cool. That's cool. I don't think he'd run fleeing from the room.
They're two different scenarios,
it's
right?
It's different, and it might be weird, but would you still, I think he might still be like,
oh, 100%, oh, because ultimately there are some dudes that they want it all versus
exactly,
having
like,
to pick, right?
Like, let's just have the sex with the older lady and the younger
but
lady.
But it was a different setting, right? In one setting, it was, I'm getting laid. In the other setting, Demi Moore was, like, slightly near his motorcycle, so he felt like he had a berater
exactly.
and fucking, like,
yeah.
make her feel like she was 2 inches tall.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So what? So the ending.
Oh, the fucking ending. The last third of the movie. Because it was pretty, like, the ridiculously... awesome. I love the ending, of course. That's when it goes full body horror. So, I'm sorry, John. I kind of cut you off.
I was going to say, what described the ending?
Sure, I will. All right. So, as we've been talking about, Sue has been stealing time from Demi Moore, who's Elizabeth Sparkle, but I'm just going to call her Demi. So, Sue has been stealing time from Demi, and Demi's body is getting more and more degraded and transformed, right? Which is honestly really fantastic, right? So, Demi Moore just hides in her apartment when it's her week. When it's a Sue week, Sue's out there filming the exercise movies. Videos, but when it's a Demi week, she just stays home and she sees like cleaning up the mess after Sue. Although at some point, like, she gets so angry at Sue that whenever it's a Demi week, she just eats a bunch and she leaves fucking trash.
Yeah, the house all
yeah exactly.
The
and it gets really gross too. Like, at one point, she like there's a big billboard of Sue right outside her window, and so she ends up like putting newspapers up on the wall, like in the grossest, like non-nice way, because she's growing more and more angry at her, right? And so, but Sue keeps stealing time from her, and then it comes to a head where Sue's just like, "No, I'm just gonna be on. Like, I'm gonna take all the time, and I'm going to suck the life out of you." And so Demi Moore becomes more and more like...
Decrepit,
right? Mm. And of course...
I love how it's half. It's literally half her body.
Yeah!
Down the middle.
She's falling apart.
Old, and the other half is normal looking.
She's like the crone in like a Hamlet movie or something. Or I mean, in like a Shakespeare movie, right?
Yeah.
Like the crones with like the
yeah.
back, the hunch. And she's aging and...
And so Sue has been hired to do the New Year's Eve show, which is supposed to be live, and it's this big performance. And at some point, like, Demi Moore's like, this is, like, I'm hurting myself too much. I want it to be over. This has to be over. And so she, you know, calls the company, and they're like, well, you know what you got to do, which there's, like, basically a death shot, a death syringe, where she's like, just kill her off.
Yeah.
And so she goes to do that, and then at the last minute, when she's about to kill her, to kill Sue, she changes her mind because she looks at her face and she's reminded again of youth and beauty, and which again, it's the trap. So she falls for the trap again, right? So she's like, hey, you know, we got to get you ready for the show. And Sue wakes up and realizes that, you know, Demi was about to kill her and goes fucking batshit, which I get it. She was going to die.
Yeah.
So there's this great scene where she's chasing her throughout the apartment. And, like, beating the shit out of her. And, like, I'm like, I did not know Sue was this fucking strong. Because she's, like, kicking down doors and shit. Oh, my God. It was great. And essentially, she kind of kills Demi almost. No, she does kill Demi, right? Demi's dead. And so she goes off to go do the show. And she gets to the studio and she gets into her big old poofy dress, like a quinceañera dress. Mm-hmm. And she's ready to do this show.
And she wears the mask.
And she no, this is before the mask.
Okay.
And she starts falling apart. Like, her teeth start falling out of her head.
Oh, yeah.
Her hair is starting to fall
like
out.
She loses, like, a finger or something?
Yeah, she loses an ear.
Teeth? Oh,
and,
an ear.
And then all of her teeth fall out, and she bumps into Dennis Quaid, and he's like, give us a smile. And she's like, mm-hmm. Like, she just smiles without any, like, she doesn't show her teeth because
no,
there's
thank
no
you.
Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to do this the show, and then she realizes that she can't because she's fallen apart and she's going to get found out. So she decides to go back to her apartment and restart the cycle of the substance and takes the rest of the fluid that initiated the whole process so that she now splits apart and another, hopefully, younger, beautiful version of her comes out, but it's not that.
And it's called, I looked this up online too, it's called Eliza Sue. So the hybrid is called Eliza Sue.
Eliza Sue. So Eliza Sue comes out, which is
it's a hybrid, like the fly.
Yeah, exactly. So
she's been merged.
An amalgam of Elizabeth and Sue, and it's just this
Eliza Sue.
This big person.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the mask?
Yeah, let's do it.
The mask.
What was the mask?
The demi mask.
She does a mask, remember? And then on the show, she takes the mask off, and it's like, or it falls off?
Well, she decides she's going to make it to the show. She's not going to miss the show. So she puts her, even though, now we're talking about a very two-person body, grotesque body horror person, monster. And she puts this dress on somehow. And then she cuts out the face from the Demi Moore because she had a big like self portrait of herself, Demi Moore.
Right. Yeah. So on her wall.
Right. Yeah. And she puts the
cuts off the face, so she puts it on her face because her face is not a face anymore. And then she goes to the show and somehow makes it on stage.
Yeah. Which, I don't know at that point what the metaphor. It's like this movie is a
now
big
we're going
metaphor,
off the rim,
you know?
Yeah.
But
this
it's like, it kind of just turns into like, you know. It's fine. It's good.
There were some good metaphors at the end, too.
It's her final show.
The boob metaphor.
She becomes the monster creature at the end.
What's the boob metaphor?
Well, not, sorry.
She becomes the monster.
It's not a metaphor.
She wears the mask. But what do you think the boob thing is?
So the boob thing, it's not a metaphor, but it's a boob thing.
What's the boob thing?
So you have all of the young, like, rockettes, right?
Yeah.
And they're coming out, and they straight up have exposed breasts.
Oh, yeah.
And this is supposed to be a family-friendly affair. There's little girls in the audience dressed up like little princesses, like in similar dresses as the one that she was advertised in.
It feels like Moulin Rouge. In
a
France,
little bit, yeah.
In Paris,
of course, it's a Moulin Rouge.
But
girls, it's like the Rockettes. But
remember, families are there.
Yeah, exactly.
Weird.
So it's a family affair, but it just goes to show that we're always being sold sex, and they pretend that it's like you
normal,
know, decent,
it's
but it's not. We're actually marketing sex to even children.
Definitely, yeah.
And it's supposed to be that grotesque level of like this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And so the Rockettes are completely their breasts are exposed entirely. It's not even like, you know, just they're showing their boobs. And then there's a part where Eliza Sue something comes out of her. It's a boob on a string, on a tendril.
Right.
And boobs. Because it's like, I'll give you what you want. Don't you want boobs? Look at this. And it is a pretty sizable, attractive boob if it weren't not, you know, hanging off a tendril. But it's like, it comes out of her as in like, her body's just trying to produce something that
sexual
is valuable to the machine that is Hollywood.
See my boob?
Exactly. Like, you want boob? I got boob.
My tendril boob.
my tendy boob.
Look at tendril boob.
Look at tendy boob.
And kind of the plastic surgery disasters kind of thing where it's just like some celebrities get so much plastic surgery that they're kind of horrific, but they're still put out there. As
no offense to Madonna,
attractive.
But, you know.
Or to...
some stuff goes too far.
What was that? Who's the guy from the wrestler?
Oh, movie? That's...
Oh,
shoot.
Mickey Rourke, thank you. Mickey Rourke used to be, he's so hot. Exactly. You're right, then there is the men that still fall apart and have to do the weird thing.
Because
he was into wrestling and boxing or whatever, he got like beat up. But back to this, because I see we are about 10
minutes.
Oh my
goodness. We've been talking about this for a while.
That's what I was saying, is even though I rushed and had the like quick, like, you know, I didn't need the warm-up for the first two. I said, I'm slowing it down for the tantra sex of the third movie, which is the Demi Moore.
Yes.
So the Demi Moore, I felt like, had a little bit more substance, and I wanted to talk a little bit more about it.
Of course, the substance.
So I might have rushed the first two, sorry, but I thought that this one was
just it was.
Intense.
It's fantastic
movie. There's a lot
movie.
Going on with it.
And we do need to wrap it up. We got to make space for the next show.
I actually, to be honest, ran out of time and missed the end, but I looked it up again.
Yeah, go
and
watch
so
it.
So I loved the idea, and I'm going to finish it later, is that her face broke off and went to her Hollywood Walk of Fame to, like, die.
Oh, yeah,
on the
that's
Hollywood
right.
Walk of Fame on her star. And I was like, what a fitting ending, even though I haven't officially physically seen it viscerally. I've only read about it. But I'm going to watch it later tonight when I go back home. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear from all or any of our listeners about that. Like, what did you think about an end like that? Even though I didn't see it, I know what happened. Like, you guys tell me because you saw it physically.
Yeah. And the face is looking up from the star. Sad, right? It's super sad.
It's kind of sad.
And there's like these like palms kind of swaying in the night wind. And it's, you know, the face is looking up at the stars as it's on the, and it's supposed to just be like, The whole point is that there's this deep acceptance and approval that movie stars get for being beautiful and talented too. And it's just, it's so addictive, and it's, it just turns into the only thing in life that's worth attaining. And if you don't get it, it's, I don't know, like it's definitely a drug. There's always like drug metaphors associated with fame and stuff. So
I guess the only complaint I have about this movie is that it doesn't quite make sense why you would do this, because it's pretty...
Well, no, like, what are you talking about?
No, but here's
the
thing.
I would do it in a second, John. I would do it now.
I feel like this is the central flaw of this movie. Which is that there isn't a real connection between the young version and the older version. Mm-hmm. And so
that's the caveat.
It's like, if you take it, a younger version of you who is a separate being is coming out, so you're not really experiencing the benefit.
Right. Of she didn't know until it was too late. She didn't know.
I guess, yeah.
You know what I mean? They were vague. They were like, just take this and you'll be fine. She didn't know.
But she did keep going.
It said, you are one.
You're right.
It said that in the directions. You are, remember, you are one.
Yeah.
You are one. She was just like, sounds good.
But that's the thing, too. Like,
she didn't know.
Are they one? It's like,
no, it was a lie. That's what I'm saying. It's false advertising. That's what I'm saying. She saw that and thought, it would be, it's fine. It's okay.
But they are one in terms of the damage from the one affects the other. But that's it, really.
But she didn't know that. She didn't understand.
They should have maybe produced a bigger link where maybe like Demi Moore was looking out of her eyes as a like almost like a secondary like entity in her head, maybe that would have explained the benefits that she was getting from
she wasn't getting the benefits,
because you're thinking she was completely blind to the positive experiences that Sue was having.
Because the idea is that you take it because you want to be younger
exactly, not that another person
younger,
is you, right?
You're not really experiencing being younger.
They should have put her in her head.
She got to make money as the younger version Sue and not be fired and keep her lifestyle. That's what I thought at first. It wasn't a good lifestyle though, because then you see she's just getting fat and watching TV. But to me, I was thinking, oh, she can keep her awesome house with the awesome view, because now she has younger Sue making money off of what she should have made money off of. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, oh, that's cool. I would whore out my second self to like keep my lifestyle.
I get it.
And it doesn't end up that way. You're right.
To John's point, I think there should have been like a slight like, oh, like maybe Demi Moore can see out of Sue's eyes, even though she can't control Sue.
There's a connection.
She can still be in her head and sort of get the benefits of being the youthful person again.
Not to second guess the movie, because it was cool. It was good the way it was. But it's almost like you don't want it to be a second person that comes out of you.
Right.
You just
I didn't want to sort of regress.
And
correct. I didn't want that.
Yourself.
Fuck yeah.
I didn't like that. I was like, if I'm going to do this and I'm going
to
inject myself with some unknown neon green fluid.
It was important.
Which was like the reanimator.
Yeah.
It was like the reanimator.
Yeah,
that's what Ted said.
But it's important that Demi didn't have any control over Sue, because it was important that Sue was independent enough to throw off the balance.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
was the impetus, right, for that. But
for sure,
it would have been cool if Demi could have seen through her eyes and had the benefit of that, at least, you know,
yeah.
Unable to control Sue, but at least to visually experience what Sue was going through.
And it does tie into that thing we were talking about earlier, where when you're younger, you're doing things that are taking years off your life when you're older.
You're
and
selfish.
So it is like you're two separate people.
It
you're,
is though.
That's
I mean, like,
maybe what the
think about yourself 30 yeah. years ago and know that like we're not there. We don't have we have the memories, but and even then we have vague memories.
They're foggy.
Can you
remember when you were exactly like 17? Like
no.
you kind of
like,
do, but
I
not
sort of
really
remember things, but
sort
not
of.
Very much. Yeah.
I do remember my skin was like flawless, and when I look at
but you didn't
pictures,
but you didn't think about your skin being so flawless. You
I
thought
took it
like
for granted.
Exactly,
yeah, I had the best jawline ever.
So maybe that's the thing, John. Maybe that
so
is the reason why there was no connection between them, because there is no connection between
yeah,
us and our
no
younger selves.
Between
vague memories
self and self,
like the,
yeah.
the sense that you're missing something, but
yeah.
you're not getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's get in. Let's get to judging.
Let's do the rating.
What's our skulls?
All right, I'm gonna do five skulls. I thought the movie. I mean, no movie's perfect, but I'm gonna give this one five. Skulls regardless. All right.
You want to explain?
I just thought it was a great script, great metaphors, great substance, and it was a beautiful movie, man. Like, it was fantastic. And also, I am very hard not to give 5 stars to a movie that does a literal bloodbath.
There was, it wasn't necessarily like
very
a bloodbath.
Very bloody.
There was some weird things. I mean, there's some, a slight amount of gore, like when she first births Sue in her back and they have to like sew her back. But in general, it's not gory at all.
No, there's no murders.
There's no murders. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I mean, Sue kills Elizabeth or whatever, right?
No.
But
yeah.
That's it. That's
the beat
it.
Down.
That's like,
that was a
that's
crazy
it.
Beat down.
But I mean, I would give it the 5 skulls too. And I would say, and again, even though I missed the last little bit, I can't wait to go watch the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't bored. I mean, you don't have to be like riveted to the screen with like full 100% like dedication. But it's good, and I like Demi Moore's acting. She's brilliant.
Oh my gosh, she
her
was crazy
sad,
good.
Weird, angry, quiet face every time that Quaid talked to her. She never said a word.
Yeah, hardly. She never fought back. Yeah.
She just looked at him, and she had a scowl, and like I really felt her acting, and she was great. And even when that weird nerdy guy came up to her, and he was like, "You're the prettiest girl ever from 10th grade, remember?" And she's like, "Okay, thank you." Her acting was super good and a little bit nuanced. And so, and the vulnerability of the actress being naked as her real self.
Her
in this
acting
movie,
when she's
good.
When she's transformed into the weakened
and
being,
she's like, you can
and she's like
it,
hobbling around, right? Like covered in scarves and coats. I'm like, damn, Demi.
I feel her, so I would give it 5. I think, I think it's worth it, even if I don't watch it 1,000 times, like over and over again or anything.
Yeah, Substance is 5.
I think it's worth another watch. I would watch it again, and I think I would recommend it to people. John.
I'd give it like a. I guess I don't know.
Don't be pressured.
No, it's fine. You
don't
can
be
say
pressured.
Whatever you want.
Because I thought it was good. Really fine. Good. 4 stars, but I felt like there were things that it was kind of like, it was good, but not like perfect.
Yeah.
But it was really good though. So yeah, I mean,
you would recommend it.
Yeah, definitely.
Even if it's not flawless or perfect, definitely. And you could like kind of get distracted in some parts of it. Yeah, and some things didn't like close up the loop for you. You're like, meh. And I do agree. If this ever happened, and I did buy the substance, because I would. So anybody,
let's
out
go buy
there,
the substance.
If anybody out there is doing the substance, I'll be one of your first buyers. I'm just saying, send it on my way.
And that, it's not only because of the beauty part, it's because of the not dying part.
I agree that the thing I wouldn't like, even though I still gave it 5, is that I would want to experience that like feeling and love through the young person, like the sex and the drugs and the parties. And I want to feel like Studio 54. Exactly. So if I'd have to just wake up in pain on the bathroom floor and that's not cool.
No thanks
it's
at all.
It's not worth it then.
All right, we all moved away off camera because it's time to wrap it up. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. This
Happy
has been
Sunday.
Fog City Horrors with just John and Morticia Monroe and yours truly, Holly Hooch.
Thanks
we
for
will
listening.
See you soon. Thank you so much for listening and check us out sometime.
We love you.
Fog City Horrors.